goodness and his favor. Amen. Let's give the praise and worship leaders a hand this morning. Thank God for them allowing the Lord to use them today. Come and journey with me this morning to the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers. Numbers 21. If you don't have your Bible, it will be on the screen today. And you can listen as I read. They journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? But there is no food and no water, and our souls loathe this worthless bread. So God sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Bow with me. Father God, we come now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We give you thanks, O God, for your favor, your blessing, your keeping, dear God, for how you continue to supply all of our needs and grant us, Lord, your blessing. Now, Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds that we might receive your engrafted word with joy. I pray that you would speak to our hearts today, Lord, as we on this last Sunday of celebrating Black History. We'll give you glory, and Lord, and just think clearly about all that you've done, even in these short lives of ours, to bring us to this place of worship today. Now, Lord, let me down in the deep treasures of your love. Raise me in the power of your Holy Spirit. Speak today, Lord. Use me as your vessel. And, Lord, I'll give you the praise and all the glory, for it is in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Lift your Bible and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. You may be seated in God's presence. Let's give him some praise this morning. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. We close out our Black History Month celebration here at Christian Charity. We want to just consider all the things that God has done to bless us throughout our lives. And I know many of you, because of your youth, did not experience some of the biases, the prejudices, and the other things that were negative in the lives of some of us who are older. Amen. And I know for a fact that none of y'all had to fight to go to school or fight to go home after school. But you were around in 1962. You were trying to be a part of the integrating of Southeast High School, which is predominantly, if not all, Black now. You had to fight because you weren't welcome. But God, in his sovereignty, just continues to allow this world to evolve, allow it to change. And in a lot of ways, I believe change for the better. And, yeah, some ways it's changing for the worse. I am grateful that God has brought us to this juncture in life. And it's because of his goodness and because of his favor that we enjoy the things that we have today. We need to focus, people of God, on the life that God has given us as believers in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And see, focus is very critical in many, if not most, or all of the areas of our lives. Case in point. 1 year at the Goodwill Games in Canada, the Jamaican team was competing in the 4x100-meter relay, and they were actually winning. And the person who was responsible for running the third leg had a friend who was competing in another event not far from where the 4x1 was taking place. And he, waiting for the person running the second leg, decided that he would just glance up to see if he could see his friend competing. And when he looked up, the person running the second leg ran into him, and he dropped the baton. So the race was actually over at that point for the Jamaican team, because there was no catching up at that point. And they lost a race that they would have won had the third leg maintained his focus on his race. But by focusing on somebody else's race, he cost the team a victory and a gold medal. Let me share just a little wisdom with you this morning. Stop looking at everybody else's race and focus on your race. When things go wrong, children look to their parents for guidance, for wisdom, for direction, for support. My dad always used to say, that's why God gave y'all parents. Because God knew that we would need our parents. Let me put it like that. Children look to parents. Husbands and wives look to one another. Family looks to family. Friends look to friends, amen, when things are not going well. And that should be, it should be natural for us as Christians to look unto Jesus when things begin to go awry in our lives. It should be just natural when things are becoming unsettling and out of control that we automatically just look up and begin to seek the person who is the source of all of our strength and who gives us all of our help. And see, the key to living a victorious life in Jesus is that we should look to Christ at all times, not just when things are bad. We should be looking up when things are good and giving God praise and giving him thanks for all that he's doing in our lives. See, we can't treat life like the no-look passes that Patrick Mahomes throws. Amen. We can't treat life like we don't have to look at what's really going on. Amen. And just think that we're going to have victory because, as you know, most quarterbacks can't do what Patrick does. We can't go through just looking in any direction and think that we're going to hit the target of God's high calling in Christ Jesus, and we're not focused on him. See, marksmen hit their target because they are focused on the bullseye. Amen. They're not looking at all the other rings on the target. They are looking at the center and at the bullseye. Amen. And if your target is heaven, you're going to have to spend some time looking unto Jesus. Amen. If you're trying to get there, you're going to have to ignore some of the other people and that are in your life, because see, Satan is a master of distraction. Amen. You can go to the store to get some milk. And before you get out the store, you can pick up some greens, some onions, some bacon, and because you lost focus on your objective in going into the store. A man was walking down the street in New York City on Fifth Avenue. And he came up to a window, and there was a mannequin, a lifelike mannequin in the window that had on a garment that he thought his wife might enjoy. And as he was looking, the mannequin blinked. And he realized that it wasn't really a mannequin, but it was a person who was dressed up to look like a mannequin who was standing there. And he said, she almost had me, because everything else on her body was stationary and not moving, but human nature will cause us to blink sometimes. He said before he walked away that there were other people who were gathering in front of the same window. And when they realized that she was not a mannequin but a person, they began to do all kind of stuff to try to distract her and get her to lose her concentration. He said that some people were making faces at her. Some were knocking on the window. Some were doing all kinds of things to try to get her to lose her focus and to move. But she did not break her concentration. She stayed focused because there was somebody on her side of the window who was more important than those people that were outside the window. And that was her employer. Because he was paying her to stand there and be motionless, amen, and she was the one trying to please the boss. And see, what we have to remember is that sometimes in this life, when we're living for God, that we have to ignore the worldly distractions that Satan puts before us. We have to learn how to ignore the people on the other side of the glass. We just can't pay attention to everything and everybody if we're going to live for the Lord. Focus is critical. When I think about all of the things that our forefathers went through, all the things they endured to bring us to this place in what is known as a free society, their focus couldn't have been totally on their situation. Their focus was not on the atrocities that they were dealing with. It wasn't on the brutality in the inhumane treatment that was being executed on them. They were victims of a horrible time in history. I believe their eyes were fixed on a brighter day. I believe their eyes were fixed on a time that we wouldn't be saying yes sir and no sir. Well, we would be able to look another man in the eye regardless of the color of his skin and say yes and no, and challenge them on the same level that we as men are able to challenge people today. Women are able to challenge people today. They realized that God would bring them out. And I believe sometimes in our history that some of the songs that were sung were songs that communicated a great message. Some they would sing would say, how I got over. They talk about how the Lord would make a way somehow. They sang looking to the freedom that we now enjoy, not just as African Americans, but as human beings and people who belong to God. No, conditions aren't perfect today, but I tell you, we've come a long way. We sing that song, He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. And there's a principle in that song that we need to learn and we need to apply as we go through this life, because it will bless us to be able to look beyond the hurdles and some of the obstacles and pitfalls and roadblocks, the pain and some of the distractions that are before us as we live down here on this planet Earth. We're going to deal with strife. We're going to deal with stress. But our focus should not be on just where we are now, but it should be on the star post of glory. It ought to be on heaven. It ought to be on our God. Our eyes should be focused on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is important that we as children of God, and see, Marcus mentioned it in his poem today, and I can remember a year ago his submission to the prayer ministry, and it's still on the list, that the people of God be more focused on God. Every Wednesday when we pray, we share that with those who are on the prayer line, that we should be praying that God's people are focused on God. Let me move to the text. The children of Israel were en route to the promised land. And King Arad, who was the king of the Canaanites in the south, didn't particularly want them to travel through their land. And so they came out to make war with Israel. And when they did, and see, before I test my first point, the Canaanites had defeated Israel in a battle earlier. So as they came, Israel prayed a prayer. And my first point is simply this: prayer through victory through prayer. In verses 2 and 3, it says, "So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, 'If you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, I will utterly destroy their cities.' And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was called Hormah." The Canaanites came out to take Israel on a second time, knowing confidently that we whipped them last time, we can whip them this time. But Israel knew that God was on their side. Israel knew that if they called on the name of God and submitted to him their petition, that God would hear and answer their prayer. In this text, it says that they had come out and they had already taken some of Israel prisoners. But Israel knew God was in control of their situation. And so Israel prayed unto the Lord. They said, "Lord, if you give us victory over the Canaanites this time, we will utterly destroy them and their cities." And God heard and God answered their prayer. People always celebrate after having won a victory. We're still celebrating the Super Bowl. Amen. Royals getting ready to play, but we still wearing Chiefs red. And here we see that Israel, their celebration didn't last very long. Because when you look at the next point, it says, "When discouragement sets in." The fourth verse of Numbers 21 says, Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Now, you would think God could take me anywhere, take you any way he wanted to take you, after having delivered you from a formidable enemy who had the potential or the capacity to destroy you. But not Israel. They celebrated for just a little while. And it tells me that we need to be careful when discouragement begins to set in. See, discouragement will show up at work. It'll show up at home. It'll show up at school. Discouragement will show up in the neighborhood. Discouragement will show up in relationships. But God had given them victory over the Canaanites, amen, and they destroyed their cities, and they had the blessing of God's favor, not just one day, but many days. They knew that if they prayed, that God would hear, because God had delivered them many other times before. But I believe we have to be very careful when Satan arrives at our door and seeks to bring discouragement on the will of God. I believe, and theologians say, that God took them the long way around the land of Edom because he did not want them to go to war with the people of Edom. And they were mad because instead of going straight through, they had to go around by way of the Red Sea. And see, what they didn't understand was what the old folk used to say. And that is that haste makes waits. And had they gone through the land of Edom, they would not have gone through peacefully. They would have had to fight all the way in order to get to the land of Canaan. Sometimes Israel reminds me of us, because we can become very impatient and not want to wait on God's will to be done. What happens when people become discouraged and they become despondent? They start complaining, don't they? Israel complained against God. Verse 5, it says, "And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of the land, out of Egypt, to die in the wilderness? For there's no food, no water, and our souls loathe this worthless bread." Yeah, they kind of remind me of us sometimes. Because here they are complaining against Moses again. And even complaining against God, because God, Moses was God's representative. And we have to be careful who we complain against, because we don't know who they really are representing sometimes. God had what? Protected them. God had fed them. God had given them water to drink and blessed them, had sustained them for their almost 40 years of traveling in the wilderness. And now they have the nerve, the unmitigated gall, to complain against God. They spoke against God. They spoke against Moses. Now maybe, you know, we get tired of eating the same thing. But you know what? One thing was always on my grandparents' stove was a pot of beans. You may not want no beans, but if you got hungry enough, you'd eat some beans. You might put some sugar in it, but you would eat some beans because that was what was there. But they came, and we need to understand that God's promise to you and I is that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Doesn't say God's going to give us everything we want. Certainly not when we want it. But we have to remember what Paul wrote in the book of 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter. When he said, having food and raiment, having food and clothes, that we have to learn to be content. Now, if God has put some clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and given you food to eat, you ain't got nothing to complain about. Because he has done what he said he was going to do. Amen. But then God is also very gracious. Because he's also said that if you delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. So the promise is there that you can have more than the bare necessities of life if we delight ourselves in the Lord. Well, God said, y'all want to complain? I'm going to give you something to complain about. In verse 6, he says, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. God said, y'all like complaining? Here you go. Go ahead and complain. But Israel quickly came to their senses. And found, they knew that God is merciful. And they said, therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord, and we have spoken against you. Wow. Pray to God, pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us. Reality sets in when God begins to chasten us for our sins and our wrongdoing. He sent snakes into the camp. Snakes that cause people to die. And in moments of desperation, we really begin to see the need to appease and to submit to the will of God. Amen. We just happen to see things a little bit different when God begins to punish us for our wrongdoing. They asked Moses, and Moses, go pray to God and ask him to forgive us because we complained against him and we complain against you. And the scripture says that Moses prayed for the people. Moses was used to it because he had interceded on the behalf of Israel numerous times. God is merciful. And God gave Moses a remedy that was somewhat conflicting. But you have to understand God's way in dealing with his people. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if the serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. God answered Moses' prayer, told him to go make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole. Now why you want us to look at a snake and the snake's what's killing us? But everybody that looked up at that snake, and probably some people died. I'm not looking at that thing. You know, God, why do I have to look at what's causing me to die in order to live? But when he put it up there, and everybody who looked at the snake lived. See, the snake was an object of healing and not an object of veneration or to be exalted. And I say that because it wasn't too long after that that Israel actually began to worship the bronze serpent. Now you can check that out for yourself over in 2 Kings chapter 18 when you get home. But we are, you know, we just, people are just crazy. God never told them to worship. He just said, look up and you'll live. But they took it to the next level, and they wanted to, they went from healing to worshiping. Makes no sense at all, but that's exactly what they did. And you can read it over there and see what Hezekiah did to the serpent after they were there. But let me move on to a close. We our time is running late. Jesus provided a great symbolism for this bronze serpent in one of the greatest salvation passages in Scripture. In John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. The bronze serpent provided for recovery from physical pain, amen, from a poisonous snake bite. The suffering Messiah brought lasting healing to those who would place their faith in him for a sin-sick soul. And Isaiah 53 puts it in this context. He was wounded by transgressions, and by his stripes we are healed. I want you to understand that there is power in looking to Jesus. There's strength in looking to Jesus. There is hope in looking unto Jesus. And when you realize what he's done for us, when you realize that if God and Jesus are for us, who can be against us? When you realize that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, and understand that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, my Bible says that we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors in the love of God. And Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither life nor death can separate me from the love of God. Angels can't take me out of it. Principalities and powers cannot remove me from the love of God. Things that are present today and things that are going to come after a while cannot separate us from the love of God. Jesus, that faithful Friday, was nailed to an old rugged cross. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That Friday, they nailed him to the cross and raised him up between two thieves, where he hung from the sixth until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, I heard him when he said, Father, it's finished now. Into your hands I commend my spirit. He gave up the ghost out on Calvary, and they took him down and laid him in old man Joseph's borrowed tomb. They sealed up the door, and he lay there all night, Friday night, all day Saturday, and all night Saturday night, But early Sunday morning, Jesus got up out of the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Went back to glory, sat down at the right hand of majesty. Yeah. And see, I'm glad he's sitting there, because whenever trouble comes, I look, and as the song said, I haste unto his throne. I begin to call on the name of the Lord, because he is my rock in a weary land. He's my doctor in a sick room, my lawyer in a courtroom. He's my company keeper. The Lord is my helper. If I need help, I'm going to look heavenward. The psalmist said, lift your eyes to the hills from which comes your help. Your help comes from the Lord. Looking unto Jesus is what Paul said in Hebrews 12, the author and the finisher, the completer, the perfecter of our faith. Let me encourage you. Don't get caught up in all the things that are taking place around you, because Satan is using most of those as distractions to cause us to look away from the Lord. I'll put it like this, and we're going to open the doors of the church. It really doesn't matter who's elected president in November, because God is sovereign. And God can cover us. He can bless us, whether it's Trump, Bloomberg, Biden, or any of them. God is our source. Amen. It doesn't matter. Whoever's in the White House, just keep looking to the Lord. I used to tell people at Honeywell all the time, I don't care who's sitting in the corner office, God is my source. They'd be laying folk off. Never was threatened. Never was touched. Did my 27 and a half, thank the Lord. And never missed a day. Never missed a day because of a layoff. So I know what God can do. The song says, if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So trust the Lord regardless of what's taking place in your life. Look to the Lord, not only in times of trouble, but in times of victory. Stand with me as we extend the